For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one and only show on the entire internet, past or future, that tackles tough topics like TV, movies, fantasy, sci-fi, all things nerds like, all things nerds love, all things nerds occasionally are, you know, antithetical about. I am Dan Selke, the editor of WinterIsComing.net, and I'm here with my co-host who is named
Mia Johnson. I am the editor of Dork Side of the Force and also WinterIsComing.net now.
Mia's going to be doing a lot more on WinterIsComing.net, so exciting to look out for her insights, articles, and editorials. Hey, Julie Davies, good to see you. And, I mean, I say this every week, Mia, but I mean it today. We have a packed show today.
Yeah.
Lots of going-ons happening. Interesting stuff. We're going to have a guest next. We talk about The Walking Dead. That'll be next week. And what should we just dive right in? Let's just skip the banter and go right into it.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. The first big piece of news is HBO announced an official Game of Thrones fan convention. And they're calling it Game of Thrones official fan convention.
Ooh,
gonna be
spicy.
In Las Vegas at the Rio. Oh, thank you. Oh, did you write it down? Yes. At the Rio Hotel, February 8th to 22nd. And that's cool. Game of Thrones fan convention. Although there's some mystery. I guess I have two points. First of all, HBO, are you looking? Invite us. Invite us to the official Game of Thrones fan convention. Give us a panel, the Take the Black panel. I wanna be on panels. We wanna discuss things. We wanna give our insights. We wanna meet fans. We want to play with big foam swords and get arrows shot off our heads. I wanna be a part of this, and I want fans to come to my room.
I would also like to be there. I recently visited Las Vegas. It is a beautiful place, and I wouldn't mind going again.
And it'll be February. Like, it'll be just horridly cold here in Chicago, mm-hmm. and we'll be in Las Vegas just laughing at everyone who isn't.
Exactly. Yeah, so that sounds like fun. It's funny when you type in Game of Thrones convention, though, it still goes to, like, Con of Thrones is the number one. So that's going to be some the more the merrier, right?
Well, okay. First of all, Julie says yes. Wonder how long it took to come up with that name. Wouldn't it be funny if they were, like, all night and a giant whiteboard and, like, what do we call it? Yeah. Just like, let's just go with the first idea we came up with. Nothing else was as good. It's interesting because, there's never been an official Game of Thrones convention. So you have to ask, why now? Like, mm-hmm. they never did it during the show. They didn't do it in the past 2 years, although, there might have been a COVID reason for that. Why are they doing it 2 years after it's over? Mia, why do you think?
I think they realize there's a lot of money in the con business. Not conning people, conventions. and when I think about it, it's like, there's no official...
HBO's been a long 20-year con to just take money and disappear into the night.
It's like there's no official, Marvel convention. There's no official Star Wars, but there is D23, which is close.
There's also DC Fandom, which is Warner Bros., which is also HBO.
Right. But that's all been virtual, so we'll see if they want to do something that's, like, in person. So, you'll have a lot of people paying for tickets, and of course you've got to split that money all sorts of ways. But if you bring the cast back,
you got to invite Emilia Clarke, got to invite Maisie Williams, got to invite Sophie Turner, got to invite Kit Harington, all those people, get them back together.
And if it's through HBO, there's probably a little more trust than doing a more third party kind of, Wizarding World or all those other things. Yeah. It's like, They'll still get their contract and stuff like that, but maybe if it's through HBO, they're like, okay, I trust this a little more. It'll be fun. Sure. Everyone's counting on me to show up, and
Although Con of Thrones did get Nikolai Coster-Waldau and Jerome Flynn and Hannah Murray and a few others. I think John Bradley came. Okay, I look at this and I see, all right, it'll be like almost 3 years since the end of the show since then. Mm-hmm. I think they're planning something. Ooh. Like, this has to be like a House of the Dragon hype event, right?
Yeah, oh, that's the other thing.
It'll be
yeah.
like right around the time when it's like, it'll have done filming by then. They probably will cut together some footage by then. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking trailer. I'm thinking like that'll be the big event. I'm thinking they're going to have the cast House of the Dragon in there. Matt Smith's going to wear a white wig.
Yes.
It's going to be a whole thing. That's my big prediction, that they want to start getting the hype train rolling on mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. And you know what? Actually, how did I blank on this? There is an official Star Wars convention. I don't know why I didn't think about Star Wars Celebration. And that's where they go out and they show you, hey, here's all the stuff that's coming and all the cast are coming in. So I think it is going to have to be kind of like that, in the sense that, oh, we're not just here to, you know, discuss, I don't know, the Targaryen history one-on-one. We're going to have these big panels up and show off. I don't think D23 really has that kind of stuff for Star Wars Celebration, like the smaller kind of convention, you know, like we're having a panelist of authors or panelists. So, I mean, that could change, but it's probably going to be more big, you know, upscale sort of panels and things like that.
Well, I love the panels of Con of Thrones. I love doing them. I love talking about the future, like how Game of Thrones changed TV. I love talking about Cersei Lannister. I had a whole panel about that. It was so much fun. If you are looking for fan panelists, hook us up. Also, the Pie in the Sky dream is okay. I'm sure they'll be House of the Dragon. So I think it's the reason it's being made.
Yeah.
If they, like, what if they announce the Winds of Winter there? That would be, they would have a coup de grace, that they would have a convention for the ages. And you had like, oh my God. What if it was like George R. R. Martin, Emilia Clarke, and Matt Smith from the three different kind of franchises, and they all announced it together on a panel?
Oh man, I'm not laughing with you. I'm laughing at you. I mean, the Winds of Winter, that's a little ambitious. It's a little ambitious.
Is it? It'll be 11 years by then. How much is it going to be?
And it's not technically HBO's responsibility as well to, keep a check on George R. R. Martin.
It would be under the umbrella. And I don't know. If I were planning the event, if I were the HBO exec in charge of this, I don't know. I'd give a call. But anyway, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And again, mostly this is just HBO, if you're watching, please invite us. Invite us to the Game of Thrones official fan convention. You know, whether it's for our own panel or like all janitorial stuff, whatever. Just invite us and don't make me pay. Okay.
Well, that certainly is fun. I'm looking forward to February. George R. R. Martin wants to finish up. He's got a couple more.
Is already finished up. I'm sorry. Now that there's an event, now I'm like have expectations, which is the curse of wanting things, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see you in
Christian
Vegas.
Says wishful thinking. Yeah, probably, but whatever. I'm going to do it until it proves inaccurate.
Exactly.
All right. Beyond that, there's some other big stuff that happened. Literally the day after last week's show, Amazon dropped the trailer for The Wheel of Time, mm-hmm. their adaptation of Robert Jordan's 14-book strong epic fantasy series from the 90s. And it would have been nice, Amazon, if you had like dropped it on Wednesday when we did this show. That would have been cool. But it's fine. It's fine. Jeff, you're cool, Jeff. So we thought we'd just watch it now. And because it does look, I think it looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Amazon's big fantasy swing. And I'm curious. You're curious. We're curious. Are you curious? We're going to watch it and find out what's in store. Let her rip.
Be strong.
Okay. So pause. Okay. Here we have underwater. So there we go. So we have like, Nynaeve pushing. Look at her go back up. We have Nynaeve pushing Egwene off a cliff. No idea what this is. This scene is not from the books.
Uh-huh.
Just want to point that out. Okay, go. We're trying this,
folks.
We got
our play-by-play.
We're trying it.
Sports recap.
Okay, so we're in Emmonsfield, the Shire, basically, where it starts. Bucolic fantasy backwater. Everything's nice. Not for long, though. Oh, there's our main characters. There's some romantic tension. Yada, yada, yada. Sweeping shots. Horses. Elves. I don't know what that is. I forget. I'm sure it's something important. I have no idea what that is either. I'm 3 books in. Can you break? So best line book series, that's Tar Valon. That's where the witches, the sorceresses live. All good. Very Aragorn. That's Moraine. That's the Ambrosian Pike. Very important. Put on pause again. I'm sorry. I can't get over this. That's a great place to pause it. like, those characters, like, Nynaeve pushing Egwene into a river, like, they're both, like, 17-year-old friends. I have no idea what that could possibly be from. Like, that's like if Sam pushed Frodo off a ledge.
She's teaching her a lesson about...
swimming?
No, about facing your fears and just letting go.
I think she is, but, like, good Lord, there are easier ways to do it than that. Do we go... did the trailer go away? Okay. Okay. And this is cool. This is inside the White Tower of Tarvalen.
That looks really cool.
And it's over now. Cool. Of course, there's an attack on the village. We got the different... the Aes Sedai's forces are all... they all different colors. The green Aja. There's a red Aja. They go by their colors. Like our whole Rainbow Coalition thing. This November. It looks very upscale, right? It looks like they spent money on this thing. I mean, again, Jeff. You got it, Jeff. What do you think of, as you watch this, Mia? Does this interest you?
Yeah, and what sticks out to me is
they
that
they added in nakedness. That is not the book.
It doesn't.
Oh, and there's
look,
Jeff Bolton.
Oh, it doesn't look super like duper fantasy like. It almost reminds me of like it could kind of blend into a Marvel movie or something like that. Like almost like just by looking at the trailer. And this is helpful to me because you know I'm not like super into the European very.
Can you pause it, Richard? Okay, I like this thought.
Yeah.
Keep talking because I have a point to make with the visual aid.
Well, yeah, because I was going to say I'm not always super into, you know, like the Ren Faire sort of aesthetic and stuff like that. This looks a little more elevated.
You don't
elevated.
Think that looks Ren Faire? Like they have swords, they got horns, they were like beasties they're fighting.
I think there's...
like I think it
that's
looks
definitely
very fantasy.
It. That looks like fantasy. Maybe not my typical idea of fantasy. Maybe like, this is more like what
they
modern
got, like,
fantasy.
The smocks on.
You know, whenever they have color in a thing like this, where they've got those like the red and the green suits, you don't see a lot of color in fantasy shows.
I guess yeah, that's true.
It looks more like a superhero suit, so I think it's tricking my mind into thinking it's like a superhero thing.
I think it's more that just like we still kind of think of fantasy as something from the 90s that's mm-hmm. a little cheaper looking.
Yeah,
and like Game of Thrones didn't really look like fantasy either, and the Wheel of Time is way more fantasy than Game of Thrones was, and it's approaching Lord of the Rings levels. I think it looks fantasy. I think it's just the amount of money and investment that goes into it that makes it look so high quality. Like look at that. A very diverse cast. That's a little non-traditional fantasy, which I like. But it looks fantasy as hell. I just think it's expensive fantasy. Okay, go on. Rain, you got Lan, her warder, you got a bunch of people with swords and knives and jumping and flashies and bow. Gotta have the horses. No one has any cars. And then at the car fancy's over. Oh, a Murdral, big old demon. That's bad news. Oops. That's okay. We can watch it again. This is fine. Yeah, it looks good. I am excited for it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would be excited for it even if I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Do you think it looks... we're talking about how fantasy it is. Do you think it looks derivative, or do you think this looks original?
I really think it looks original because my first impression, like even when I watched The Witcher, I don't think I was initially impressed, and I wasn't impressed even just watching that little bit of it. But
I wasn't impressed after I saw the whole thing.
Yeah, there's something about this that I'm trying to put my finger on that it's like kind of tricking my brain. I think it is like it has to be like, oh, this is kind of like a superhero thing. And it might be a little bit of the magic too that we, especially at the end with whatever Rosamund Pike was doing and she was summoning the lightning.
Weaving the one power.
All right. But I mean, guess who else, you know, brings lightning from the sky? It's Thor. So I'm like, okay, I can kind of get into that.
Nerd crap has taken over the movies and TV so thoroughly in the past decades that the visual language, I guess, is just there now. Yeah. Like, you don't get surprised if someone, like, goes, like, zap, 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 mm-hmm. or, like, rides a horse or rides a dragon or whatever. It's just, you're right. It kind of blends into superhero stuff, man stuff, and sci-fi stuff. It's all so out there that, like, the ceiling, or the floor, rather, for... ceiling or floor, whatever, we're willing to take a little more fantastical stuff in everything we watch, I mm-hmm. think. Although, as Nicole says, she does find it derivative. And I mean, in a way it is. Like, it's definitely a Lord of the Rings, like, a reaction. It's heavily influenced by the Lord of the Rings, at least in the first go. But then it kind of breaks away. I'm excited, as Nicole says, like a cross between GOT and Merlin, which I can see too. But again, with Jeff Bezos' money, Like, I think it does give it a sheen that would at least be enough for me to check it out and see.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they do put a lot of emphasis on the action, whereas there is in Lord of the Rings, but it usually comes in these really the grand battles with like orcs and things like that. So for the most part, you're just kind of, at least from my recollection, remembering them just kind of like walking along, going through these grand sweeping landscapes and stuff like that. But this, at least in this trailer, the action was front and center. I'm an action person.
Thanks, Marvel. You have to like have an action scene every couple of scenes or what are you doing?
Exactly.
Nicole will check it out. Julie loves the look of it. Can't wait. I'm looking forward to it too, Julie, quite a bit. Christian hopes it's not the Krull of new fan series. Christian, that would be The Witcher, in my opinion. I like Krull.
Please explain that.
Krull is a older fantasy movie. I think from the 70s, 80s?
It says 1983.
Yeah. I saw it in the theaters. Like when it's a cheesy fantasy thing. It's got like a guy who has like a little ninja star that kind of throws and chops people in half. I'm not describing it in detail here.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
Anywho, Matt Smith is back watching Game of Thrones season episode 2 for the 9th time. Series 7 episode 2. Ooh, Stormborn. The one where Yara and Euron fight and Theon jump ship.
He's good.
I'm worthless. That's what I am. That's a good one, Matt Smith. And Matt Smith, if you want to come on and talk about your House of the Dragon, Doctor Who, I would love that. All right. But yeah, it's exciting. It's big. Jeff Bezos is making his swing. And if it doesn't work, he has Lord of the Rings series in the back pocket. Mm-hmm. But Mia, that's not even like the only big thing we got this week.
Yeah, we are getting some big, big teasers for The Matrix 4, which actually has a title. It's called The Matrix Resurrections. Yes. Colloquially, a lot of people have been just calling it Matrix 4.
I'm going to call it Matrix Resurrections because, I mean, like, the others were The Matrix, Matrix Reload, Matrix Revolution. So they weren't called, like,
they went with another R. Yeah.
They did.
So there's actually going to be a trailer coming out tomorrow. They're pulling a Wheel of Time on us. They're like, you know, we're just going to wait till Thursday to release a trailer and forget about Take the Black. But they did release kind of this fun interactive website where you get to go and click the red pill or the blue pill. And whatever pill you take, you're going to get like a mini kind of teaser. So
I was talking with Richard. What if he took both?
God, imagine the overdose.
What if he mixed medications? Yeah.
So from what I saw, they have like all this new footage and stuff. And apparently there's like 180,000 different combinations of trailers you can have or something like that.
It's pretty cool.
It's really intense, but I thought we would look at some of the stills from those trailers since Warner Brothers didn't really release the stills. You just kind of had to screenshot them. And
are you a Matrix fan? Like, you would have been too young to see it.
Right,
like,
I'm too, but I still like the whole idea of it. I think it's kind of culturally, it's you know, a really big thing. And the way they're taking it now with the whole, you know, it looks like Neo's mind is being wiped or something. It makes you curious. And especially with our first picture here, we have Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, our Candyman.
I know what's happening here.
Oh, do you?
Oh, totally. This is, he looks so, this is Morpheus waking up in a different body and going like, what? I look so different. And I don't know why they couldn't get Lawrence Fishburne back. I don't know if they asked and he said no. I don't know if they didn't ask, but I will bet you $100 that is what is happening in that picture.
Yeah, when I saw, because I know originally we were talking about, like, is he going to play a young Morpheus or something like that? And now I'm like, I think he is some version of Morpheus, and this picture would kind of, you know, set that off. Because who looks in the mirror and is like,
and I watched like the little like teasers on YouTube, like thrown together. Uh-huh. Like he's narrating it. He's doing a Lawrence Fishburne impression.
Yeah, there was another one where he's wearing like they all kind of wear sunglasses in the Matrix.
But that's
specifically, it was a very Morpheus look for him to be, and he's bald. You know, he's not usually bald too. That's a big.
I'm sorry. Like the biggest thing out of this that I'm wondering is why isn't what happened to Lawrence Fishburne? Mm-hmm. Like you want me to be curious about like everything and. All I can think of is like, why is he here at all?
Exactly. So then we have another new character. This is Jessica Henwick.
I don't want to see The Matrix 4. I want to see like the special behind the scenes making of. That's what I care about. Okay, go on.
This is Jessica Henwick, who is a Game of Thrones alum.
Yeah, she plays Nymeria Sand.
Yeah, Nymeria Sand. So It's awesome to see her in here. I really don't know what she does. I think in one picture she's shooting after not Morpheus in a hallway and he's like running for his life.
She is the best agent in Hollywood. You know that?
The like, best
she,
what?
The best agent in Hollywood. That's what she does. She has connections. Like, she's a good actor. Like, I like her a lot. But yeah. She was in Game of Thrones. She was in Iron Fist, like the main kind of the female lead opposite.
Wow.
Finn Jones. She was in Star Wars. And now she's in this. Who is booking her?
Yeah.
Like, she has an amazing people. She has a great team.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is awesome. That's basically almost every major studio. So, I'm not exactly sure what her character is going to be. She's shooting a gun. So, we have a spooky photo now. This one was very spooky.
Jonathan Groff, no.
I don't know. There's something. Okay, so in this scene, he's talking. He's like in an office. And then his mouth just seals over.
Which happened in the first movie, remember?
Oh.
Yeah, like Agent Smith made him, I'm trying to remember back from when I was like four. It was like,
Neo?
How can you testify when you can't speak? And he's like, yeah, so that's like a power you can do, as I recall,
ooh,
in The Matrix, just make people's mouths close just up.
Seal them over.
If you're a dick, if you're, your Agent Smith, who is played by Elrond from Lord of the Rings. Do you know? I don't remember his name.
Oh, don't make me pull this up.
No, forget it. It's fine. But yes, that's the thing. And it looks great. It looks really creepy.
Mm-hmm. And
Hugo Weaving. That's the one. Thank you, Richard, very much. Yeah, it's a creepy picture. And I mean, so far we are getting a lot of things that are kind of like calling back to earlier stuff.
Yeah.
Like even Jesse Henwick with the blue hair, sort of like that was a very kind of a pop of color was part of their style. There is a cat in the trailer I watched, which is like the thing, like the glitch in the Matrix from the first movie.
Yeah.
They're doing there was one shot of kind of an overhead of him like punching a wall or someone else, which was very reminiscent of the first thing.
Yeah, there's a dojo scene. I just remember the dojo because someone made like a funny YouTube video off of it, and now I can't get that out of my head. But yeah, a lot of callbacks. And it almost makes me wonder, is it going to be kind of in the vein of like The Force Awakens, where it's just kind of like we're really just having all these callbacks where it's either the same movie over again or it's filled with too much nostalgia to the point where it can't really breathe as an original movie?
I wonder that too, because again, like everything I've seen is a reference to the first movie or something else in the trilogy.
Yeah.
Except that last shot of Keanu Reeves, which is a John Wick reference.
Yeah, I'm like, isn't this, that's not Neo. You know, Neo is clean shaven. His hair is very coarse.
He wears a long duster. Yeah. He flies. He has glasses.
It's like, Keanu, you're in the, you know, wrong film. Change your role.
So just based on this. I mean, it looks cool, but it doesn't look like it's going to be terribly new.
Yeah, that's going to have to be something where, you know, those three movies were really groundbreaking and revolutionary. And now, I was going to say as a whole, definitely the first one for sure. But now, yeah, we do have copycats, you know, slow-mo scenes and, you know, just about anything as far as the graphics and stuff like that, because it does almost look kind of cyberpunky as well, not to also allude to Keanu Reeves, but yeah, I think we're gonna have to see the full trailer that comes out.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Tomorrow morning. And I had another thought that was along the vein of the nostalgia stuff, which I completely lost, but I'm not going to keep talking. Maybe it'll come back to me.
Okay. Well, as Matt Smith says, just don't think this looks as good as the rest of the trilogy. I mean, I think it's too early to tell, Matt. But yeah, I mean, I do look at all that. Like I said, I see nothing but references to the other movies.
You know
what?
Okay. I remember what I was going to say. One of the Wachowski siblings, the one who's not making the movie, who is out of the movie.
I want to say it's Lily.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
But I just remember.
I think Lana's making it and Lily is not making it.
Yeah. She had said that. It's she pronouns.
Yeah.
I want to make sure. So, yeah, she had said that, you know, I think it was something along the lines of, you know, I didn't really feel compelled to help, you know, to co-direct or to co-make this movie. Sure. I just didn't feel like there was a need to continue the story. And that's also a red flag when one of the directors and creators is like, is there really more to say? Now, again, it's also like, oh, well, I want to do other things. I want to make other films. I don't really want to revisit this. Plus, you know, it's part of their past as well.
I think she was like burnt out after they made a bunch of things, she said too. And she's just like, you know what? I'm taking a little break here. You do you.
Yeah. So I'm still hoping it's good. It looks like it is epic. I love this genre anyway. And Matrix, as is legendary. So
kind of like Westworld became the new like mind warpy, well, your reality isn't your reality sort of sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
But, maybe the Matrix can come back and reclaim the crown. As Matt Smith says, I can't see anything beating the first film epic. It was very big and influential when it came out, and was kind of like, it was one of those movies where just like no one had thought of that idea or at least done it. That's not true. Like sci-fi people have been doing it for decades, but like no one had kind of packaged it in a way that really sold it to people on that biggest scale. Mm-hmm. That's why it was like kind of a mind blow thing. And it is hard to make that like next jump. And, you know, Keanu, Carrie Ann Moss, Lana Wachowski, prove us wrong. Dazzle us.
Yeah, we'll see. Tomorrow the trailer comes out. I'm assuming it's going to be along the same lines of everything that we saw in the preview. I don't think there's going to be anything different to kind of blow my mind. But
I'm going to see.
Yeah. This is going to be one of those HBO Max movies, right?
Yes, and in theaters at the
and
same
in
time.
In theaters. So I wonder which one I will choose to see it on.
All right. Next, Mia, our next segment, and this is for all of you, too. What are you watching? What are you watching? What are we watching? What are we watching today? And I'll go first. What We Do in the Shadows came back on FX and FX on Hulu, the show about a trio of vampires living in Staten Island, a modern-day New York, and their familiar Guillermo. Probably my favorite show that is currently on the air.
Yeah.
Like, just, that's actually having new episodes. And they aired the first two together, which is something they're doing a lot more often now.
Mm-hmm.
I love this show, Mia. I love the show so much. I love that, again, it kind of has, like an Office feel, as in like a fly on the wall, like mockumentary kind of, you're there. But whereas The Office was about the mockumentary and the humor was, we're all doing really humdrum daily stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous, fantastical, stupid things with a really boring looking at it tone.
Yeah.
And it works really well. And the actors sell it so good. And now the third season, they're kind of getting into a bit more of like a mythology thing where they're kind of building the characters, making a longer term story. Have you watched the show at all, Mia?
I have. Oh. Finally, after months of you telling me to watch the show, I have.
Good call, Christian. We will do that.
Yeah, I saw that as well. But yeah, I was so blown away by.
Were you really?
Yeah. My gosh. I love this sound. I'm telling my brother to watch it because I just finished season one. And
it gets better.
That's awesome. I really didn't know what to expect from this. Like I said, I saw the movie and I was like, okay, mm-hmm. I know the premise of the movie. But I think there's something about the characters. These characters are so lovable. And it's, you know, a kind of tight cast, right? You've got three main vampires and Colin and Guillermo.
Colin.
Yeah. I like Nadia. And I think, to me, she just seems like a cool person to hang out with. Like, literally, this has been the thought in my head all week. It's like, she would be a cool person to hang out with. I think Nandor would be my second favorite character. But, yeah, there is just something about...
I go back between Nadia and Colin. I can't decide between those two.
There's something about, like you said, the ridiculousness of it all. Like, when Nandor is applying for citizenship and he just reveals that, you know, the Olympic dream team was the reason why he applied for citizenship in the 90s. Like, what a thought. I don't know if this would be a spoiler per se, but in the middle of the season, I liked when there was that crossover too, where Taika Waititi does come on, and I wasn't
In that final episode where they get all like Wesley Snipes and Tilda Swinton together.
Yeah, exactly. So I wasn't expecting that either, but it has just been so fun to watch. The only thing I hate is that I have Hulu without ads, so I've been like grueling through every episode. Oh, do you have like the premium Hulu?
I don't know what I have. We use someone else's Hulu.
Lucky you. I've got like the free premium through Spotify or premium, but it has ads. So that's been like really awful. I'm thinking about upgrading just so I can binge through season two a little quicker.
It is. I don't want you to spend any money, but it is pretty good. Yeah, that show's great. Natalie, I recommend you watch it.
Yeah, please do.
And this is a good time as any. Yeah, Christian says, I've heard shout out to Michael K. Williams. Michael K. Williams, performer on The Wire, Boardwalk Empire, Lovecraft Country, did pass away a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he was a great actor, and that is incredibly sad.
Yeah, he was 54. And it is weird because I never really watched the other shows that he was in, but I did watch Lovecraft, and I interviewed him. He was like one of the people that we get to sit and talk. And the Lovecraft was like, they gave us a lot of time. I think at least 15 minutes That's to nice. Kind of sit with each actor and kind of talk them. And so I asked him like two questions. And yeah, I just remember like when I was talking to him, he was really kind of like, I wrote in a tweet, like dedicated to his craft. Like you could tell so like he took it very seriously. He was talking about one of the scenes that he did, how he drew inspiration from, you know, his real life and how it was just really emotional for him. So yeah, that was really, really shocking to be like, I just, you know, was chatting and asking you questions last year. And now, you know, this happened. So
he was one of those guys who kind of whatever role he was in, like he was just had a lot of on-screen charisma. Like you kind of just drew your eye to him. Like I thought he was probably the best performance in Lovecraft Country for me. Like that character was complicated. That character was really torturing, had a lot of contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
And just he really plumbed the depths really, really well. So it's a huge loss. And our sympathies go out to his family and friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that one was a tough one. But, yeah, we wish send them our condolences.
All right. Going back to the topic of what are we watching. I did see Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I thought it was fine.
Oh. Here I was thinking I'm going to have an in-depth fireside discussion with you about Shang-Chi, and your one-word review was fine. So it didn't... Okay.
It didn't blow my mind, no. I mean, I wanted to see it because it was getting good hype, but it's not a Suicide Squad. But no, it was better than that, don't worry. I mean, as good as it was, and it was good, I mean, you had, like, the leads were charming. You know, it had the Marvel action, and then you had the humor, and you had a bit of drama. It did feel like a Marvel formula movie to me, and I never quite got away from that. You know, like there was some family drama with he's like has a conflict about like my father raised me in a toxic environment, I can't escape it, but it wasn't really enough for me.
Ooh.
And like there was humor, but it always had to give way to the rest of it. And the action was, I liked it. I didn't really like that final act, honestly. Like the giant Cthulhu beast is like the main boss. I don't know. If it were me, I think I would have gone to just develop the dad stuff more.
Yeah.
Like,
I think
was just like, what's the word for it? Spellbound or whatever. Like it wasn't
father?
Really. Yeah.
Wow.
I wish it was more like a conflict between those two.
Yeah, I almost do wish, at least in the final act was very, like, you know, when they have to draw in the CGI army, it's like, come on,
it felt
Marvel.
A little like,
but
again.
Oh my God, I was such a fan of the father's character. And to me, it's like,
he was better than I was expecting, yeah.
In Marvel, you always do, there's these sort of weird father figures who, you know, are like Odin or Ego, where, you know, they're kind of jerks and stuff like that. But I enjoyed the complexity of his character because it, and we are getting the spoilers, so sorry, but because, yeah,
oh,
wait, sort of spoilers, because
no.
To me, it always felt like he was always subverting our expectations. So just when you think he was a really bad dad, you see that, oh no, there were pockets when he was really a family guy and stuff like that. And then he turned and then all these other things. So I think his story as the crux was fascinating to me, at least.
I liked it. I thought it was a good swing, but like, I still think they soft-pedaled it.
Wow.
I still think at the end, even though he was more complex than they had to write him, the conflict was still like, he's under a magical spell and he doesn't know what he's doing. So he goes there, releases, you know, the final boss.
It was
great.
What else did I want to say to that? Oh, in
but
the
I liked
action.
It.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Okay,
it was
I'm
good
glad
watching
you liked it.
It. Not like my top five Marvel movies, but it was good.
Yeah, it's oh yeah, definitely not my top five. I think it is somewhere in my top half, at least. I haven't updated my list yet.
How many are there now?
like 26 or okay. something. Yeah. I do have a, or 20, let me see. I do have a list, my MCU ranking list. Okay, right now I've got 24, and I don't think that includes Shang-Chi. So maybe like 25. We're somewhere in that ballpark, basically. So it's a lot.
Is that, I'll ask you, is that list like, do you want to publish that somewhere?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's always been my private little list, but I won't. Yeah, I've got it all right here. I would show it to the camera, but I've got more personal notes too. Yeah. So Shang-Chi, yeah, I'm going to have to put that, and maybe I'll get that published on Wix sometime.
Maybe on winterscoming.net.
Yes, yes, yes. And speaking of Marvel, I also have one more pick that I want to talk about really quick, which
is What If going?
What If? Oh, my gosh. So overnight, they released the Zombies episode. So I won't spoil that too much. But it's like every episode keeps getting better and better and better. Like last week, they had an episode with Doctor Strange where he, where Dr. Christine dies, his girlfriend, and he becomes like so obsessed with trying to bring her back to life that he goes like mad with this dark power. And it's, did you see that episode?
I did not.
Oh my gosh. I was like, they need an Emmy for this, just for that episode alone. It was really, really dark and moving and emotional. And I, you know, we were like, oh, this is just, you know, it's a cartoon, so you're expecting it to be for children and stuff like that. And then they go and pull something like this that's emotionally heartbreaking. And you're like, oh, but they're really, they're not pulling their punches. That would be for you to decide as well.
Sure.
But the Zombies episode, too, was really something else because, it was, really was The Walking Dead, but make it zombies. So it's like, okay, well, what happens if the Avengers start to turn? What happens, you know, when you have to kill your best friend? And it's a survival episode. And I think there's going to be a part two, the way that they made it out to be.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was not looking forward to this episode. Like I really do hate the zombie trope. It's nothing that like excites
me. I'm fine with like one episode of as a one-off.
Yeah, like The Walking Dead, like it, that's a great series for the drama, but it's just something about zombies that don't really do it for me. But this in particular, still, it's like, just to kind of think about it. And you had like Peter Parker in this. It wasn't Tom Holland. He opted not to do this. Chadwick Boseman is credited in this one. I thought he was only going to do one episode, but he's back in this too. So it's really awesome. And I recommend it.
Cool.
If you're a Marvel fan, don't skip out just because it's an animated series.
I think we should skip the next thing because I'm not sure if we can talk about that yet.
Ooh, okay. Well then.
But soon. And The Walking Dead, we are going to talk about it next week. We're going to have a guest on who knows a lot more about it than we do. So we can get you up to date on what's happening in the final season of Zombieland Walking Dead. So we had some, a couple of comments right before we move on to the next thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because you guys are sounding off, which we love. Sound off. As Julie says, Britannia, Hempel, makes Cersei look like Snow White. Season 3 is so damn good. Julie, I literally asked people on our Slack thing. I'm looking around for someone to come on and talk about Britannia because you love it so much and I want to find somebody. So that mission is ongoing. Emily, go ahead and watch that. The new Matrix, according to Larry, will be 2 fire emojis. I hope so. We're gonna get into it.
Yeah.
And Christian, I hope we didn't spoil anything. And he wants to see that list. I do too.
Ooh.
We'll talk.
Okay.
And finally, we have our final segment of every Take the Buck episode. It's time for the Wick News Lightning Round. Pow. Where we go through news stories we didn't have time to talk about in depth in the main show and devote 20 seconds apiece to giving you the skinny. All right, Mia, who is going first this week?
You are reading and I am answering.
Okay. All right, first Wick News Lightning Round story. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings breaks the Labor Day box office record amid the pandemic.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I was looking at my CNBC and the analytics. They're very hopeful that this could be a turnaround for, you know, box office, people going to the theater, going out, which is like Venom raised their date to like October 1st because they pushed it back and now they raised it. So people are very hopeful. We'll just have to see how this plays out in the next couple of months about people going to theaters.
Black Widow did. Okay. All right. Yes, we will.
Okay. We have a photo lightning round question. Ooh. Here. Or Clue. So here it is, Matt Smith rocking his Targaryen hair on the set of House of the Dragon.
Yeah, just a little update. I mean, they're still filming the Game of Thrones spinoff prequel House of the Dragon. Nothing really new to report, just there's some new outdoor stuff. And we got a picture of Matt Smith in his Targaryen white blonde Marilyn Monroe platinum blonde hair. Good for him. He looks nice. Good hairline, good wig work. Hooray. We'll see more of that at the official Game of Thrones fan convention.
Ooh, I hope so.
All right, Mia, I May Destroy You actress Michaela Cole addresses some rumors that she might become the next Doctor on Doctor Who.
Yeah, so of course this is one of those things where it's like anything is possible, I won't say no. So we don't know quite yet if she will be the Doctor. I think she is really, really awesome. She's a great actress. I May Destroy You was really great on HBO. I saw a little bit of it. But yeah, this is Jodie Whittaker's last season. So we will probably know like either by the end of the year.
Soon. Okay.
Okay, this is interesting. Critics are split on Denis Villeneuve's Dune. Is it a masterpiece or a mess?
Yeah, so the Dune reviews are out, and they're mostly good. There seems to be kind of a consensus that it's huge, it's epic, it's see it in a theater, it's like this sweeping grand thing, which is great. Some people are like, okay, yeah, he did get a little lost in the weeds here. It's like, why is it only one half of a movie? He might have overextended himself a bit. I mean, it's still, I'm going to say it.
All right, Mia. Save.
Director Bassam Tariq is taking Blade, the Blade movie, in a new direction with the on the MCU.
Yeah, this is funny because he was kind of talk. His big idea with this quote was he was saying there's no official canon for Blade. He's always been kind of, and Blade is almost a 50-year-old character. So we do have the Wesley Snipes version, but we could possibly see something different if they go back in the comics and kind of adapt that story, or adapt the style, or adapt the look. So Mahershala Ali is going to be in the role. I think they have a lot of freedom.
Yeah, totally. Oscar winner Mahershala.
Yeah. Okay. So a new Avatar, The Last Airbender TV show and CG animated movies. They're on the way.
Yeah. We have this Battle of Avatar stuff. So Avatar Studios is going to make a new TV show, new animated movies, CG animated movies. And then we got Netflix. We're going to make a live action remake. So much Avatar crap is going to come so quickly. It's fine. I mean, we went from like zero to 160 really, really quick. It's going to be a glut really fast. One of them will be better than the others. And I'll watch that one. Oh, well love said. It. All right. Mio, Lego debuted the trailer for the Star Wars Terrifying Tales Halloween special. Woo!
Yay. Yeah, this looks really cute. It's kind of like in the vein of the Lego Star Wars holiday special, which was really cute. Mm-hmm. Not canon, so, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But it's funny. It's got spunk. There'll be some different stories, like what if... It's like, what if, basically? Like, what if Luke Skywalker joined the dark side and stuff like that? So I'm looking forward to it. It's coming soon.
Coming soon.
All right. And our last one, The Umbrella Academy wraps filming on its best season yet. Wow.
I'm looking forward to that. Have you watched The Umbrella Academy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun. It is a fun, distinct superhero show that's managed to stand out in a very crowded field of superhero crap. You know, it's quirky, it's funny, it's still action-packed, but it's also got some kind of a zaniness and a loopiness and a weirdness to it that is different enough to make it good again. The cast is really good. All right, and that has been Take the Black, our weekly show where we talk about everything you need to know in terms of TV, movies, fantasy, and sci-fi. As Nicole says, I always think big blue guys when I hear Avatar. Yeah, I think there are people, that's a problem for both of those franchises, because they're both coming back, too. So they're going to have like an Avatar Google search results battle.
Yeah.
That's like, it depends like which one is bigger at the time. It's going to be interesting, frankly. That was, and Julia says, thanks, guys. Looking forward to it. Okay. And we're going to have it, Julie.
Yeah.
Walking discussion next week. And if you all want to see more of us, extra articles, extra videos, prizes, feel free to check out the Wick Club here and join us next week. How about we're here every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time here on the Winter is Coming YouTube page and the Winter is Coming Facebook page. We're talking with you, we're talking to each other, we're talking about stuff, and we'll have a lot more where that comes from next week. See you then, and best wishes. Goodbye.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.